I'm excited to be here. I did miss you guys. We're still in Daniel. I think today is part 16. So that tells you we've been in it about 4 months. We might have 2 or 3 more weeks to go. But the last time I was with you, we started talking about why did Daniel keep getting promoted at work? Why did he not only survive in a pagan world, but Daniel was thriving in a pagan world? He was unshakable. Well, and we got into this one last week, is when you will you stand strong for God publicly and be unshakable as Daniel? And then we answered some questions of why did Daniel keep getting promoted at work, and we said first his professional competence made him stand out. Daniel knew what he was doing. It always, am I on? Oh, y'all can hear me? But his professional competence made him stand out. He knew what he was doing, and he was good at it. He was 82 at this time, and he had collected all his wisdom over the years, and he was the man. And then secondly, we said, you know, his personal character made him stand out. It's not enough that you're just competent, even at work, that you know what you're doing. You got to be liked. You know, because a lot of people could know what they were doing, and a lot of people could be competent. But Daniel was likable, and that made him stand out. He was a man of good character. He told the truth. He wasn't two-faced. So his character made him stand out. Because I'm going to tell you, if it comes down to you and another, and both of you are competent, and you're not liked, you're history. You're gone. The third thing we found out is his public commitment to God made him stand out. He was different. In a pagan world, he was committed to God, and he was unashamed. He was unafraid. Remember, he had already made it to the list of top 3 governors, and then King Darius was going to make a boss over the 3 governors. This would make this person the number 2 person in the land, right under King Darius. He was like vice king, and so if that's a title, we'll make it one. And the other governors heard about it, so they plotted this conspiracy to trap Daniel. And they knew about Daniel's commitment to God. They knew that he prayed 3 times a day. They knew that he went home and done it, and that he prayed to God and only God. So they were pretty smart, kind of, sort of. They went to King Darius and went straight for his ego. Oh, King, live forever, ever, ever. Just sucking up. And then they devised this plan. They said, hey, we want you to pass a law that for the next 30 days that we can only, the whole land can only worship you. And you build this statue and we just worship you, and anybody else that doesn't worship you gets thrown into the pit of lions, or, you know, killed some other way. Death is their penalty. Oh, great king, live forever, ever, ever. We love you. And this appealed to his ego. And so he signed the law. And in the Persian law, remember now, once a king signs a law, makes this a law, it's not reversible. Even the king can't reverse his own law. So it was in place for 30 days. But Daniel, how did he respond to this test? Well, he was unafraid. He wasn't afraid to stand up, for God at work, because that's where he was at. And how did he do it? We were wondering, how did God, Daniel, well, he remembered that God was faithful in the past. I want you to remember that Daniel's 82 at this point. When we started studying Daniel 15 weeks ago, he was 15. Now he's 82. And so he's remembering the past. He says, God's been faithful to me all these times. I remember. And then he also remember what the guys knew about him. He had a conversation with God 3 times a day. I mean, a good conversation with God. He said, I'm stopping what I'm doing. I'm going to pray 3 times a day. Remember, he threw the windows open. And then the third thing is he knew the rewards were greater than any risk. He knew the rewards were greater than not praying, to God. He knew the rewards were better. He slung the doors open, or the windows open, and he prayed. So now I want to look this week, kind of quick, maybe, at the benefits. That every time you and I stand for God that we're going to receive. The biggest thing that keeps us from standing for God is fear. Wouldn't you say that? Just fear in a nutshell. And I want to tell you, anytime that what I've learned, anytime you want to defeat a controlling fear in your life, all you need to do is minimize the negative possibilities and maximize the benefits of doing the right thing. What I mean by that is just focus on the benefits and not the negative. We're not necessarily going to be thrown in a pit of lions here in the Dyer's. I don't know anybody's got one. But we might be gossiped about, or we might lose our business if we stand for God. We might lose our job if we stand for God. We might lose a bunch of friends at school if we stand for God. But how do I be unshakable in a society that's changing around me? We got to remember the benefits. We got to remember the benefits of doing the right thing, of standing for God. That's how we're going to be unshakable. So let me jump into those real quick. Number one, it is this. Standing for God is a victory over fear. It's a victory over fear. Whether you're at work or your community or with your friends, when you stand for God, you have a victory over fear. Let me tell you something about fear real quick. If you're filling in your blanks, I'm going to try to go through these real quick. Is that fear is just a feeling, and it cannot last. Fear is just a feeling, and it will not last. And you know what I'm talking about, the fears, especially these negative ones. And when I say the negative feelings, what I mean by that is when you're in a negative feeling, you think you're going to be that way forever, aren't you? When you feel depressed, you in the middle of that depression, you think, I'm going to be depressed forever. And when you're scared or afraid, however you say that, I say scared. When you're scared, you think, I'm going to be scared forever. I'm just going to be that way. Or especially when you're grieving, in the middle of grieving, you think, I'm going to grieve forever, the rest of my life. No, you're not. None of these. You're not, because emotions by their nature cannot and will not last. You ever been happy forever? I'm in a real good mood right now. I'm a happy man. And normally I am happy, but I ain't this way all the time. I'm not this way all the time. Drop a cat off at my house and see how happy I am. But no emotion, good or bad, cannot last. Amen? Emotions are just temporary. So don't trust in your emotions today, because tomorrow they're going to be different. You'll wake up in a different world like a duck. That's why I always tell you, don't base life-changing decisions based on your emotions. Or don't make life-changing decisions based on your emotions. Because they change. Promotions just change. Now, here's something else about fear. Fear is uncomfortable, but it won't kill me. It won't kill me. You ever been so scared that your heart's beating and, or what's the right word? Palpitating, I read one time. And you think you're going to pass out. You start sweating and shaking. You think you're going to die. You ever been like that? You didn't, did you? You didn't die. Fear may be uncomfortable, but you're not going to die. I love Rick Warren's acronym for fear. It says false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Only Jesus is real. Fear is not. Fear ain't real. Here's the third thing about fear. Fear grows when I give in to it, but lessens when I move against it. Guys, every time you and me give in to a fear and we don't do the thing we fear, the fear gets bigger. And there's only one way that you can lessen fear, and that's move against it. You can't argue your way out of fear. You ever tried to argue your way out of fear? You ever tried to reason your way out of fear? You can't reason your way out of fear because fear is unreasonable. You just can't do it. Do the thing you fear the most. Do the thing you fear the most. You got to move against it. Fear responds to action, not reasoning. Base your lives on your commitment and not your fear. Commitment's a dirty word for a lot of folks today. But base your lives on your commitment, not your fear. Don't let fear dominate you like it did my life for so many years. That's the craziest thing. Courage. You can still be afraid. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's knowing what to do, doing the right thing anyway, even when you're scared. It's just doing the right thing. Being afraid and doing it anyway. You know? So I got to ask you, are you a courageous man? Are you a courageous woman? Here's what I want you to think about. Write it down. When was the last time you moved against your fear? When was the last time you moved against your fear? Any fear. The thing you feared the most. Go ahead and write that down. I want you to think. Go ahead and write it down. I want to see you write. It might be that you needed to reconcile with someone. You was afraid to. It might have been that you needed to. See, y'all was thinking I was thinking snakes and stuff. What? Dark? Yeah. Flip off the lights. I'll show you I ain't scared. It might be that you need to forgive someone you're kind of scared to. Might be that you need to offer forgiveness. And guys, it's going to keep growing until you move against it. You can give into it, and it's just going to grow and grow. I remember when I was growing up in Rockmart, I thought every night when they flip off lights, I was just a little tired. I'd look over at the closet, and the shadows made it look different. And I'd be laying there scared to death every night. I was scared to death of whatever it was in the closet. And, you know, by the time morning come, I wouldn't even be thinking about it. And I finally realized that it was the guitar that I thought was the boogeyman. When I realized what the boogeyman was, guess what? The boogeyman wasn't as big and bad as it really was. Guys, what I'm trying to say is our fears ain't as big as we think they are. Our fears ain't as bad as we think they are. The boogeyman just ain't that bad a dude. Sometimes he's just an old plastic guitar and makes our mind think things. Every time you take a stand for God, it's going to make you more confident. Every time you take a stand for God, it's going to make you more courageous. It's going to make you more of a person of a character. You're not going to be scared of plastic guitars. Amen? The Bible teaches us to pray like the first Christians in Acts 4:29. Lord, you know the threats people make. So help us as your servants to speak your word without fear. Speak your word without fear. Fear's goofy. Fear's temporary. Fear is not Jesus. Second thing about what we stand for God is this. Standing for God builds my faith and character. Builds my faith and character. Faith and character are like muscles. And the only way to develop a muscle is to put it under stress. That's what weight training is all about. Friday morning we had to do a whole bunch of. I know y'all don't hear about my CrossFit, but that's what I'm going to tell you. We had to do a bunch of power cleans. And a guy named Brandon walked by, and I lifted mine, picking my weight out. He said, is that what you're going to live? I said, yeah. He said, you got that too easy. I said, I know I'm strong. No, he said, you lifted it too easy. He said, do you want to get stronger? I said, yeah. He said, well, you got to put more on it. He said, you got to put more stress on your muscles. You got to develop them, you got to put more stress. work too, didn't it? But same way with our faith and our character. Sometimes we got to put it under some stress. Sometimes we got to develop it. Sometimes we got to put it under some tension to build our character and to build our faith. We're not going to build our muscles by eating chips and watching who paid less for the dress, or whatever the name of that, whatever the name of that is. Are we? Say yes. Say yes to the dress. Yeah. We ain't gonna develop our muscles doing that, are we? Huh? We just going to cloud our minds just like mine's clouded right now about that. But we got to put pressure on our muscles and pressures on our faith to stretch it. We got to stretch it from time to time. And so every time you stand for God at work or school or in the marketplace or with your friends, you're stretching. You're developing your faith and your character. It builds your faith. 2 Timothy 1:8 says, you must never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer if necessary to share the good news. Are you ashamed? Are you ashamed? Is your faith and character developing? Are you eating chips and watching the dress show? Number three. Here's something else about standing for God. It gives God an opportunity to do a miracle. It gives God an opportunity to do a miracle. Many folks haven't seen an absolute, true miracle. You know why? Because they never put themselves out on a limb. I try to live by saying I once heard, is don't be afraid to go out on a limb because that's where the fruit is. That's where the fruit is. You can't walk on the water till you get out the boat. So we got to take risks. So when you stand for God at work or school, you know, I'll go through that list again, in your relationships, in your community, in your cul-de-sac. Sometimes you're going to take risk, and it gives God an opportunity to do a miracle. And because you've never done that, you've lived this life of safety. You know, you know nothing ventured, nothing gained. That's possibly why you haven't seen a miracle. You haven't risked anything. You know, you never know if God can solve your problems if you don't have any. Because you've just been living it kind of safe. No risk at all. So if you never risk anything, you'll never see a miracle from God. And Daniel risked it all. He stood for God. And he prayed openly. And he allowed God to do a miracle. Let's look at this big verse at the bottom. Let me first tell you a little, let's set this up. Remember, he'd been in the pit in the lion's den all night, and the king had made him in there. And King Darius loved Daniel, man. He was his friend. He's fixing to promote him, and he knew that it was his ego that happened, and it kept him up all night. He was just distraught about what had happened. So we pick it up here. It says, at the first sign of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the pit filled with lions. When he got there, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, O king, my God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions, and they have not hurt me at all, because God knew I've done nothing against him or you, O king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the pit. You ever been lifted out of a pit? And when Daniel was lifted out, there was not a single scratch on his body, because he had trusted God. Now that's a miracle. And that's why you see so many paintings of Daniel and the lion's den, because this is a historic moment. It's history. And I want to ask you again, has God ever rescued you out of a pit? If he hadn't, it's because you've never taken a risk and got yourself in a pit. Sometimes it takes risk. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Standing for God, number four, is this. It encourages other believers to stand up. Standing for God encourages other believers to stand up. When you stand up for God at work or school, cul-de-sac, the community, It encourages others. And let me tell you, say something about courage. Courage is contagious, isn't it? Courage is contagious. If your leader is cowardly, everybody else is a coward. I better not ever hear nobody call y'all a coward, because they're calling me one. I don't ever want to hear that. When you step out for God, other people are going to start coming out of the woodwork. I'm telling you, it will happen. Philippians 1:14 says, Paul said this, because of what I've been through, many of the Christians here have gained confidence and become more bold in telling others about Christ. Your boldness will always encourage others to be bold. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It'll always encourage them to be bold. Number five, standing for God is also a powerful example to unbelievers. We were just talking about believers. It's a powerful example to unbelievers. I'm telling you, our ability to stand for God and how we handle pain may be the greatest testimonies of all. Two of the greatest examples to your unbelieving friends and your neighbors and your relatives, your co-workers, is how you handle pain and how you handle rejection. Two of the greatest testimonies to them. Two of the greatest witnesses. When you say to unbelievers something like, you know what, sorry guys, but I won't do this. My conscience won't allow me to do this. I will not violate my conscience. I know everybody's doing it. I know the world says it's okay, but my conscience says no. God says no, do the right thing. Guys, this is a powerful testimony to unbelievers. You jumping in doing the same thing with them is not a powerful testimony. Do you get that? We're called to be different. Acts 14 says, when the council saw the boldness of Peter and John, they were amazed, since they knew they were just ordinary men, but they had been with Jesus. Where do you get courage from? You get courage from being with Jesus. That's where you get courage from. You stand strong when you kneel often. Y'all remember when I told y'all that a couple weeks ago? The more time that you spend with Jesus, the stronger that you're going to be. Peter and John, just ordinary men. It was obvious that they've been with Jesus. When folks see you at work, when folks see you at school, who do they think you've been with? Who do they think I've been with when they see me in the community? It was obvious these guys been with Jesus. Let me give you an example of what happened with Daniel. We're talking about King Darius here. Because of Daniel's example, this pagan king becomes a believer in God. Listen, let me read you Daniel 6:25. I didn't put it in the outline. I don't know why. It just ain't there. And don't worry about why I didn't do it. Just know I didn't do it. Go back and read it. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. He's the God who rescues and saves. Daniel was willing to go to the pit. Daniel was courageous. I want to tell you something, folks. He's still rescuing and he's still saving people today. I wanted to read you that last verse. Just, I know it kind of didn't go with the rest of it, but it did, because it tells me that Daniel just keeps going. He just keeps going. He just keeps getting promoted. Why? Because Daniel ain't no wimp. He didn't wimp out here. And I'm sitting there thinking, wouldn't you like for your boss to be saved? Wouldn't you like for your boss to be rescued? Daniel did. And it was because he stood strong. Maybe you need to stand strong tomorrow morning. Maybe you need to stand firm. Let me give you one more example. I got really pumped up about this because it has to do with history. We're talking about 18 generations later. Matthew 2. 1, 2. Go back and read it too. I'm going to read it to you right quick anyway. Let me get there too. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born of the king of Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." From the east. They came from the east. You know where that is? That's the Persian Empire, the Babylonian Empire that we're just talking about. Wise men from Iraq and Iran. 18 generations later, after Daniel, they came from the east. How in the world do a few pagan wise men know the prophecy of the Messiah? How do they know that the King of Jews is to be born? How do they know that the star is a sign? How do they know? They showed up because Daniel, 18 generations earlier, stood for God in a pagan culture. And they wrote down what was going to happen. He threw his windows open. And he prayed publicly. He worshiped the one true God openly, publicly, whatever. He done it. That's why 18 generations later. That ought to get your pipes flowing. Because guys, I'm telling you, these guys showed up 18 generations later to worship Jesus because they had heard something, they read something written down from one single person. One single person. Guys, what you do and what I do has long-term impacts for Christ. We're not just doing this for our children or our grandchildren, but our great-grandchildren and many future generations, because you and I stood up in a culture that is going pagan. You and I are going to have to stand up. You and I are going to have the guts. We're going to have the character to stand up and to get on our knees and stand strong. Even pagans knew the Messiah was going to be born, and they showed up because of a star that one person wrote about. They wrote about it because God had showed it to him to prophesy. And that one guy stood in a pit filled with lions, hungry lions, and he stood up for God. He said, "I will not be shaken." That's strong. 18 generations later, one man. That is the power of one person. You don't think you got any power? You ought to think about that. One person. One person. Here's the last thing he remembered too. I will be rewarded in eternity. When I stand up for God, I will be rewarded in eternity. Jesus promised it. He said it'll last forever and ever. When you do the right thing, when fears subside, you're going to be rewarded forever. Matthew 5, let me get there. I know y'all ready to go. I'm sweating myself. Consider yourself blessed if people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you because of me. If that happens, be happy, knowing that you'll be rewarded greatly in heaven. And remember, you're in good company. They did the same to all my witnesses before you. Not because you're rude and obnoxious. If you're rude and obnoxious, people ought to get a hold of you. But because you're a good witness, you'll be rewarded greatly. He said all the prophets, all the spokespeople before you, they stood for moral issues and ethical issues and the truth. You do the same. You'll be rewarded greatly. I don't want you to forget these six. I want you to write them down somewhere. Put this somewhere. If one of them's all you got to work on, work on it. And here's what I want to end this with. How are you going to end? Are you going to end good? How are you going to end? See, Daniel's 82. I know, folks, it's 55, and they checked out. You know what they tell me? They say, "I did my time. I ain't going to the nursery. I've served my time. I ain't going to do nothing now. I'm just going to sit and listen to Jim's entertainment. I've done all I'm going to do." I get on to the young folks, it seems like every week. Old people, I'm getting on to you. He was 82 years old. He still ain't wrote about his greatest miracle. He'll do that at 85. The greatest impact that you could have on this community for Jesus Christ could be when you're 85. And you think you're done. You're not done. God ain't finished with you till you quit breathing.
I'm 81 and I'm still going strong.
Amen. I'm serious. Some of you guys think my kids are grown. I ain't got to do that no more. I don't have any kids, so I really don't have to serve. Please. One single person made an impact 18 generations later. Caused three wise men to walk and search for a star. You're not done. You're not too old. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, we need the people of our previous generation to help us. We need the folks of previous generation to show us their wisdom. To teach us, to lead us. I need the folks of the new generation to listen. And to humbly be teachable. Lord, we look for you. Because you're still rescuing and saving and we're excited about that. Lord, we're going to have to stand for you. I know it's coming because our world's getting paganer and paganer. Lord, help us to remember these things so that we choose you. Help us with courage. We love you, and it's in your name we pray.